So this morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 9. You'll find that on page 1102 on the Bibles. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you are coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Christine. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want to encounter you afresh this morning. And so we ask that you would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our ears, to see and hear and receive what it is you have for us today. Amen. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, when I gave a very long preamble but forgot to tell you things like the words are on the screen, so I'm glad you figured that out. Today's a little bit different. We're having a focus on living generously, on God's goodness to us and our response to him. For from him and through him and for him are all things. You can find that in the Bible in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Or in the words of Psalm 24, that one we were singing, "The earth is the Lord's and everything, everything in it." Now, if you'd asked me to choose a Bible passage on the theme of generosity or giving or stewardship, what the Bible has to say about how we spend our time and our money, I would not have instinctively chosen Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 20, the passage that Christine just read to us. We've got this passage this morning because it's the next instalment in our sermon series looking at the book of Acts and the gospel going out to all Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And yet, as I was prayerfully preparing for today's service, I actually became convinced that this is exactly the right passage for today. Because how we spend our time and our money, how we use our gifts and our talents, how we order our lives is really all about the conversion of our hearts and how God's commission works itself out in our lives. And that's exactly what Acts 9, 1 to 20 is all about, conversion and commission. Now, to be clear, I want to be really clear on this. I am not saying, how much money we give to church or how many rotas we serve on reflects our individual closeness to Jesus and our desire to serve and worship him with our lives. Not at all. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that living generously is not about an amount of any kind, of money, of time. The right amount will be different for each of us. What I am saying is that it's about each of us responding to God as we put our trust in him, as we choose to follow Jesus and allow him to do his transforming work in us. When we do those things, we'll figure out the right amount for each of ourselves. When we put Jesus at the center of our lives and order our lives from Jesus being at the center, from our relationship with Jesus, then we will be given the right amount and serving in the right ways, which will be different for every single one of us. So as we have before us today, the dramatic conversion of Saul, I just wanted to draw out a couple of things about those two words, conversion and commission. Conversion and commission. So I have just two brief thoughts. I promised Richard I wouldn't be more than 10 minutes. Start your stopwatches. Our reading this morning is, I suspect, quite a familiar one to many of us. It's the Bible reading from which we get the term a Damascus Road experience or a Damascus Road moment. Perhaps you've heard that phrase. We've got Saul, who's a high-achieving, educated, well-connected guy. He doesn't understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so he's persecuting Christians, followers of Jesus, because he thinks he's doing the right thing. He doesn't get that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And he's on the road to Damascus in search of Christians when Jesus speaks to him and tells him to go into the city. That's verse 5. An encounter which leaves Saul physically blind, but with his eyes open to Jesus. An encounter which leaves Saul physically blind, but with his eyes open to Jesus. He can't see the actual road, so he has to be led by the people who are with him. But he has seen Jesus. He can see the way. And the way was a term for kind of early Christian followers. They were followers of the way. So Saul can't see the physical road, but he can see spiritually. He's encountered Jesus. He can see the way. Everything in that moment has changed forever for Saul. From this moment onwards, the ordering of Saul's life changes. On reaching Damascus, Saul is no longer looking for Christians. I mean, he can't see to start with, but he's no longer looking for Christians. He is instead praying. and has received a vision that a man named Ananias will come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. That's verse 11. So Saul's priorities, they've changed completely. He's had this encounter on the road and everything has changed. Meeting Jesus has changed the course of his life. Ananias has also received a vision from the Lord, telling him to go and find Saul. But he's very understandably reluctant to go, because what's he heard about Saul? That he's persecuting Christians. I mean, why would I want to go and see someone that's going to persecute me? Yeah? It makes sense. So Ananias is understandably reluctant to go. The Lord, however, reassures Ananias. Ananias goes to find Saul, and as in the vision, Ananias places his hands on Saul, and Saul receives his sight and is filled with the Holy Spirit. Seeing Jesus on the road to Damascus changed the course of Saul's life immediately and forever. His heart was converted on the road, and in Damascus, he publicly identifies himself as a follower of Jesus by being baptized. An outward sign of the inward change that's taken place in his heart. So that's the first thing I wanted to highlight to us this morning. It's really quite a simple point. Seeing Jesus changes the course of Saul's life. Seeing Jesus changes the course of Saul's life. The second thing I wanted to draw out is that Saul doesn't simply stop persecuting Christians now he has become one. He goes further than that. He begins to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. That's verse 20. Remember, Saul is a very gifted, highly educated, competent, well-connected person. He's very academic. And the conversion of his heart, the turning of his heart towards Jesus, immediately changes how he uses his particular gifts. It immediately changes how he uses his particular gifts. Saul has a new commission. His conversion doesn't just lead him to stop persecuting Christians. His conversion leads to him using his gifts in a new way, to a new calling, a new commission. Now, you might be here this morning knowing you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but not being quite sure when that happened, and not having a conversion moment, a conversion story like Saul's. And that's totally fine. To be a Christian is, in many senses, to be daily converted. Every time we say sorry to God and receive the forgiveness offered through Jesus, every time we deviate from the way and come back to Jesus, every time we repent and believe and put Jesus back at the center of our lives, we are being converted. The course of our lives changes immediately and forever. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, famously said something along the lines of, "The last part of a man to be converted is his wallet." Speaking for myself, I know how easy it is for there to be a disconnect between my beliefs and my behaviours. There's kind of a bit of a lag sometimes in all sorts of areas of my life. We've got that phrase, haven't we? It's easier said than done. There's probably a reason that we've got that phrase. For some of us, that comment by John Wesley may resonate, may be true. It may be that our wallets are the kind of thing that it's hardest for Jesus to convert. For others of us, the areas of our lives we don't want to let Jesus into might be different. What's sacrificial to one person might not be sacrificial to another. But conversion, our hearts being converted by Jesus means the whole of our lives being converted by Jesus. So my invitation to all of us this morning is to reflect on what areas of our lives need converting or reconverting as we respond afresh to encountering Jesus. And I'm very much including myself in this. The invitation to reflect on how encountering Jesus changes everything. I think for all of us, there's always more work for Jesus to do. Conversion is not just new beliefs, it's new behaviours. It's a new commission. Amen.